Welcome once again to the radio broadcast of the Independence Missionary Baptist Church, which is located at 124 South Main in Forestdale, Missouri. We are very thankful that you are listening to the broadcast this morning, and we pray for you. We want you to know that we want the very best for you. We want you to know that when you die and you go to eternity, we pray that you will go to be with the Lord, and that you will rejoice with Him forevermore. This morning, Brother Paul Reynolds, who is the associate pastor of Independence Baptist Church, will continue in the message he began last Sunday morning, entitled, A Faithful Saying.
Good morning. We would like to look this morning, if you will, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 9, we would like to look again and when the Bible talks about this is a faithful saying. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is a Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Here he tells us this is a faithful saying. This is a truthful saying. This is something that you can believe. You can lean upon His word, and it will not change. This is a faithful saying and worthy. It is worthy. Worthy of all acceptation, to be believed, to be accepted in every part and every way of it. He says, for therefore we both of them. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, for therefore we both labor. They do labor. It is work to serve the Lord. It's not easy to serve the Lord. He says there that we both labor. You know, we think of labor as digging ditches and hard labor, manual labor, things like that. That it's not easy. It's hard. It's not fun to do. But the Bible talks about here, and he says, for we both labor. Labor in service to the Lord. You know, we do. We serve the Lord. It's not easy to serve the Lord. Don't let anybody fool you and tell you that serving the Lord is easy. I'll tell you, I'm here to tell you today, it's not easy. It is hard. It is rough. Serving the Lord for me is hard because it's all a simple thing. Just because I have this body that doesn't want to. This flesh that I live in, it doesn't want to serve the Lord. It wants to do its own thing. It wants to go its own way. And it wants to drag me that way. But the Lord tells us that, look, I want you to serve me. I want you to follow me. Paul talks about having to beat the body into subjection. This body, it fights. It fights us. The labor here he's talking about, we are going to labor. We do labor in the service of the Lord. And there's a labor that's outward. There's a labor that has us getting up on Sunday mornings, getting ready, getting to church, going to Sunday school. And there's a labor in some of those people. When you go to Sunday school, you have a Sunday school teacher. That Sunday school teacher has worked all week to get that message, to get that lesson ready. At our church, we have a devotion, and the one doing the devotion works on that all week to get that devotion ready. It is labor. It's not something you can just throw together real quick. It takes work. Your pastor that stands up and preaches and pastors, you know, he doesn't just get up Sunday morning and open up the Bible and there it is. That's what he's going to preach about. No, he works. He works at that. He labors at that all through the week. Say, well, how does he do that? By reading, by studying, by praying, much praying, a lot of praying. If you've ever stood up before anyone and taught the Word of God, it's a great responsibility. I don't mean great by, yay, fantastic. I mean great by awesome. It is a big weight on your shoulders because you want to say what's right. You don't want to lead anyone wrong. We do labor. And that's part of the labor here he's talking about. But there's another aspect of this laboring. That labor on the outside is work. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you a secret. If you're here and you're listening to this and you're newly saved, a lot of the labor you're going to face is not going to be that on the outside. A lot of the battles you face are not going to be that on the outside that people see. A lot of your battles are going to be inward. A lot of your battles are going to be with yourself. With your own mind, with your own body. Your body doesn't want to sit down. You know, it's kind of like You will want to go clean house or go work on your car or change your oil on your car, go mow the grass when it comes time to read the Bible. I mean, that's just the way these bodies work. That's the way these minds work. Praying. Say if somebody says, well, praying is not difficult. Praying is not hard. Yeah, it is. Praying takes work. Unless you just pray the same prayer all the time, then it's not hard. Then it's not a prayer anymore either. We need, it's our labor is going to be more on the inside of us than it is outside. Because you think about this, if we lose that battle on the inside, it's not long that our labor on the outside ceases. So to keep that labor going on the outside, we have to win those battles on the inside. It is labor. It is hard. We do struggle. I struggle. People around you that have been saved for a while, and they seem to have it all under control. I'll tell you another little secret. They don't. When they think they have it under control, just like you and me, that's when we fall. Then we need to trust in the Lord just like they do. Just like they've learned with their life, that they've got to put their faith and trust in the Lord, that they can't have it on themselves. You can't trust in yourself for this. The Bible says we both labor. We both work. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. It's not always going to be fun. It's not always going to be easy. There's going to be hard times that we're going to have to go through in serving the Lord and following Him. It is something that we're going to have to do. But it can be done. We can do it. But don't make the mistake of thinking that you can do it on your own power, because you can't. It has to be done by the Lord's power, by His might. He will give us the courage and faith to stand if we trust Him, if we believe on Him. He says here in verse 10, for therefore we both labor and. So while we're laboring, it says, and suffer reproach. We both labor and suffer reproach. Say, well, I don't like the laboring part too much. I want it to be easy. I want it to be, you know, a breeze. I don't want to have to work real hard at this. But you're going to have to. We're going to have to. Just like at work, we have to work at work. Some things are easy at work. Some things aren't. Some things are hard. That's the way life is going to be all the way through, even serving the Lord. Some things are going to be easier. Some days it's going to be easier to serve the Lord. Some days it's going to be harder. Some days I wake up and I'm just in a bad mood. I don't know if anybody else has that happen. But you wake up, you're just in a bad mood. Now, that's a hard day to serve the Lord when I'm mad. At no reason. I just wake up and I'm in a bad mood. But when I wake up and I'm in a good mood, I wake up and I'm thanking the Lord already for the day. Just a beautiful day. It's just, oh, fantastic. That's an easier day to serve the Lord. But you know what? I have to serve the Lord both days. Regardless of how easy or how hard it is, I've still got to serve the Lord. And I've still got to treat people right and do people right. So we do labor. And he says here, we suffer reproach. We will suffer some. We will suffer some things because of our laboring, because of our working and serving the Lord. Some people aren't going to like it. They're not going to like that we go to church on Sundays. They're not going to like that when we talk about a party. When I tell guys at work, yeah, we're going to have a party at my house tonight. Now my family and all coming over and have a good time. Like, oh, really? You're going to have a party? Like, yeah, you got to understand the hardest thing we got is Mountain Dew. That's the hardest thing we've got. You know, we put in a cartoon and watch a cartoon or movie, something, or just sit around the table and talk and have a good time. You know, we get together and we laugh and we joke. We have a great time. Sometimes they don't like that. They don't like it that is our parties. You know, but we need to serve the Lord and follow Him. They're not going to like it that when they go out to eat, they're like, hey, we're going to go up to this bar. Well, I'm not going if you're going to a bar. I'm not going. People get mad at me sometimes. People get mad at you. They get upset at you and me. But we are going to suffer because of our laboring in the Lord. But look at this. Look at what he says here after this. And you can take this. Therefore we both labor because we trust in the living God. Look at that. Why do we work at it? Why do we labor at it? Why do we beat our body into subjection. Why do we try and serve the Lord? Why do we want to follow Him? Because we serve the living God. Because we trust in the living God. That's what it says here. For therefore we both labor because we trust in the living God. And then he says we suffer reproach. Why? Because we trust in the living God. That's why. That's why we're going to labor, and that's why we're going to suffer. And that's why that we put our faith and trust in Him. And that's why that we, before we go anywhere, before we do anything, before we head out on a trip, we ask the Lord to bless in it. We ask, before we plan the trip, we ask the Lord, if this is what we're planning on doing, if you don't want it to happen, you stop it. Lord, you work the details out, and He works it out. Lord, just you work in this. Then before we leave on a trip, we want to pray and ask the Lord to keep us safe, to protect us, hold the car together. Hold those other cars together. Keep all the cars on the road. You know, protect us. You say, well, I mean, why do you pray about all that little stuff? Well, because I'll tell you a little story that happened to me one time when I was younger. I had this car, and my dad and I worked on a transmission of it. Rebuilt some parts of the transmission on it. It's a 5-speed manual. We built rebuilt that with a book and everything. My dad and I out there on our carport rebuilt it. Then it wasn't. A few years later, I moved away and was working. Belonged to another church. And that same car, the transmission started messing up in it. So I figured, well, I still got that book. You know, and my dad helped me rebuild it. That's how I looked at it. My dad helped me rebuild it. But what it actually was, I was helping my dad. But I didn't see that then. But so I figured I rebuilt it before with dad's help. I can do it again. So I got the book out, read up on how to take that transmission out, how to do all that with that transmission. And man, I was all fired up. I went out there and I took that transmission. Oh, I took it out of the car and I took that thing completely apart. There was nothing left of that transmission that wasn't bolted together. I mean, I took every bolt out. Took it all apart. Then I realized something once I got it all apart. I didn't know what was wrong with it. It was just a little thing. It was just a simple little thing, right? Just rebuild this transmission. No problem. I can do it. I had no idea what I was doing. So the church I belonged to, there was a mechanic there, a good mechanic. And so I put that transmission in a box, put it in a car that I had borrowed in the trunk, went to church. After church, I told him, I said, hey, I got a transmission out in the trunk of the car I got that I need you to look at. Something wrong with it. It's not shifting right. It's stuck in a gear. And he's like, okay, yeah, well, let's go look at it. So I went out there with him and opened up that trunk. He just looked down in there and closed the trunk. He didn't even want to mess with it. He's like, why didn't you come to me before you took it apart? It was a simple little thing. You didn't have to do none of this. It was easy to get to. Why did you take it apart? Like, well, I thought I knew what I was doing. You know, that's when I began to realize that it wasn't my dad helping me the first time. It was me helping him. He knew what he was doing, and I was just doing what he said to do. I learned a little lesson there, and later on in life, I began to look at things and began to see that that was a small little thing with that transmission, but by the time I got done with it, you see, I was saved then, and I did not pray and ask the Lord what to do with that transmission. I got this. I've done this before. I handled this. So I figured I could handle it again. And, well, I was wrong. I couldn't handle it. So he had to get me a transmission from a junkyard, and we put it in there. He gave it to me, and I could put it in. And it worked fine. But I learned something from that. I didn't have to spend all that money, a couple $100 way back then, to fix that transmission, to get another transmission when I could have spent a whole bunch less on fixing the one I had if I would have prayed and asked the Lord what to do and went to the mechanic and told him what was wrong with it and asked him how to handle it. But I didn't go to where the help was. I trusted in myself. And when I trusted in myself, that's when I messed up. Just like we will in our lives when we don't trust in the Lord. Says there that we trust in the living God. We trust in the living God. That's why we're going to labor. It's because we trust in Him. because he's who we trust in. And we're going to suffer reproach because we trust in him, because we put our faith in him. We don't put our faith in these things of this world. We don't put our faith in our bank account. We don't put our faith in our job. But we put our faith in Jesus Christ. We know that he will take care of us because he has in the past. We will suffer. And that suffering and reproach there is not because of something I've done. It is because I trust the living God. That is why I will suffer reproach. That is why I will labor in his serving him. I will do all those. But here he goes on and he says, okay, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust the living God, who is the Savior of all men. You know what? He is the Savior of all men. He is. He is the one we trust in. He's the one we put our faith in. He is the Savior. But listen to this. We trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men. He's the only hope we have. He's it. He is our Savior. But you see, he's the Savior of all men. Our lives need to be pointing people to Christ. Not pointing people to where we work. Not pointing people to where we shop. Not pointing people to the kind of car we drive. Or the subdivision we live in. Or the house we live in. But our lives need to be pointing Christ. Pointing the people to Christ is where they need to be pointing them at. The Bible talks about that our conversation should be such as that people see God through us. That word conversation there doesn't mean what comes out your mouth, but it's your lifestyle. Because you know, we look at it and we say, well, but to see, there's places that if I serve the Lord, there's places that I can't go. There's movies I can't watch. There's jokes I can't tell. Well, yeah, but there's jokes you can tell. There's places you can go. There's movies you can watch. And those are things we need to serve the Lord in those things. And doing what is right, and that is our lifestyle, that we do serve the Lord in those things, that we follow him. People are not going to like that we won't go certain places. But who are we trying to make happy? Who are we trying to serve? Where's our trust? Is our trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men? Or is our trust in those people we're around all the time? Don't put your trust in man. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. Put your trust in the living God who is the Savior. Our lifestyle needs to point people to Christ. Because everyone out there, every person out there has an eternity that they're going to spend somewhere. That ought to bother us that one of these days, everyone out there is going to die and wake up in one or two places. They're either going to wake up in heaven or they're going to wake up in hell. Tell you, that ought to burden our hearts. That ought to burden us to want to serve them, to want to teach them and show them Jesus Christ. And our lives ought to show that. He is the Savior of all men. And he goes on and says, especially of those that believe. You say, well, what does that mean? What does that mean, especially of those that believe? Okay, let's look at it like this. I've got 5 kids. I will help them in whatever way I can. But if they do not come to me and ask me for help, I'm not going to know they need it. Now, I'm not God. God knows what we need. But a lot of times he waits on us to come to him. But he says here, he is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, that doesn't change who he is and what he's done and where you're going to spend eternity at. He is the Savior of all men, whether you believe in him or not. But if you trust in him, and you really do trust in him, when you put your faith in him, you accept him as your personal Savior, you will die and go to heaven. But if you do not, it doesn't matter if you're in church. It doesn't matter if you're on a church roll. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher. It doesn't matter if you're a missionary. If you have not trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will die and go to hell. You will. So he is the Savior of all men. but especially to those that believe, because we're trusting in Him, we're putting our faith and hope in Him. He is my Savior. He is it. He is the one I'm trusting in. He's the one I'm following. He's the only one that I can go to when I really need help. Because He's the only one that truly understands what I'm going through. You may have went through the same thing. And you may understand the steps that I'm taking and the feelings that I'm having. And that's a comfort. But I tell you, having Jesus Christ there and understanding that He knows that He's given us promises to help us through many different things, that is a wonderful and awesome thing that He's given to us. But He goes on here in the next verse and He says, these things command and teach. This is a neat little saying here because He says, these things command. Now we look at this and we think command means demand that they be done. Command. That's not what that word command means. That word command means to teach. To preach. But it's so much more. It means so much more than just teach and preach on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday schools, and on Wednesday night. It means so much more than that. It means to teach by walking beside them. Teach this from beside them. Not from up above them, not from in front of them, but from beside them in life. Not commanding like you do this and you go out there and you do this way. You live this way. You think this way. But He means show that you're doing it yourself. Teach by example. Show them how to do it. Show them how to read. Show them how to study the Bible. Show them how to react to things. Show them what you mean. Don't demand it. Teach it from beside them. That's what He's telling Timothy. That's what Paul is telling Timothy here. And that's what the Lord is telling us, that we need to teach our children from beside them as a family, as a father and a husband. And your wives and mothers out there, you need to teach your children from beside them with your life. Show them how it's done. Pastors need to teach their churches, their congregation, how to serve the Lord from beside them. Not just demanding it be done, but teaching them how to do it. Showing them how to do it. And then He says, these things command and teach. This word teach means to preach. To publicly speak and tell all who will listen. And that's paraphrase of the meaning of it. But we are to be teaching. We are to be telling people about God's Word. That's what we're told to do. And this is not just for the preacher. The Great Commission was given to the church, right? The church is not just the pastor. The church is all the members of that church. You are told to go and to teach. You're told to go and teach. And that's what this word here means, to go and teach. To go out there and teach people you come in contact with. Tell them, show them that you are serving Him. You're serving the Lord. You're following Him. And that there is a difference in the way they live their life and the way you live your life. There's a difference in how they come upon problems. How that they handle difficulties. There ought to be a difference, that there is hope in our lives. No matter what the situation entails, no matter what the circumstance is, we can't look at the circumstance and determine whether we're serving the Lord or not. We have to look at the Lord, follow His Word, no matter how the situation goes. You think about this. Was Job following the Lord when he lost all of his children and everything? He lost everything but his wife. Was he serving the Lord? Yes, he was. He was serving the Lord. He followed Him. And when Job found out that he lost everything, what did he say? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying I know that's how I would handle it, but I would pray I would handle it kind of like that. But I don't know. And if we're not going to handle the small things that way, how are we going to handle the big things? Job knew and Job trusted the Lord because the Bible says that every day he sacrificed to the Lord. And just in case his children were sinning, he sacrificed for them as well. He gave a sin offering for them, just in case. Job served the Lord every day in the small things of his life. That's the only way that he could stand and serve the Lord in the big things. In this big moment, in this big circumstance is the only way that he could serve the Lord here. So when we come across a situation and a circumstance, we need to serve the Lord in it, in the small things. Ask the Lord's guidance in the small things. You don't know. You have no idea how it can impact people around you, you serving the Lord. It can. People around you impact you. Be a good impact. Be a good influence on people around you. Serve the Lord and follow Him. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. It says, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach." Both of these are because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially to those that believe. Then he says, "These things command and teach." We do need to be teaching these things to our children, teaching these things to our grandchildren. Teach them to our friends, our co-workers, those around us. We'd be living in such a way that this is what they're taught. This is what they see. This is what they understand about us. That we do have something different. And it's not, the difference is not in us. There's no difference between me and the person sitting on death row. Not in us. Christ is what made that difference. Christ is. We need to understand that and know that and teach that to our children, that Christ is the one that makes a difference in people. And they need to trust in Him. If you're here today listening to this and you're lost, you need to trust in Jesus Christ. You can't trust in what you're doing for salvation. You cannot work your way to heaven. It doesn't matter if you're a member of a church already. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher. It doesn't matter. What matters is, have you trusted Jesus Christ? Believe on Him and trust in Him, and He will save you. That is a promise in His Word. When I quit trying all the things I could think of to be saved, and I gave up on me, that's when the Lord saved me. When I truly trusted in Him and not in any part of me, that is when He saved me. Thank you.
Well, this has been a really, really good message. We trust that you have really heard the truth of God's own holy word. And we pray that you might make this a real part of your life. You know, there's some helps that we have for you. One is Sunday school. It begins this morning at 10 o'clock at Independence Baptist Church. That's 124 South Main in the city of Forestdale. And you're welcome to come to this service. Our preaching service begins this morning at 11 o'clock a.m. And then tonight, our evening services begin with our prayer service at 3:45 p.m. And then our Sunday evening worship services begin at 4:30 p.m. And then our Wednesday night Bible study is at 7 p.m. So, if you're looking for a place where you can put in practice those things that Brother Paul has mentioned this morning, you will find it at the Independence Baptist Church. If you're looking for a place where you can find out what God's Word is saying to you, you can find it at the Independence Baptist Church. If you want to listen to sermons, you can go to www.sermonaudio.com/IBC, and there you will find many messages that's preached from the pulpit of Independence Baptist Church. But if you just want to do some Bible study, you can go to www.independencebaptist.org, and there you will find all kinds of information that will be helpful to you in your Christian life. You know, all of these things we give to you, and we want you to grow thereby. We want you to understand that God has a reason, God has a purpose, God has a plan for your life. We want you to be involved in doing what God wants you to do, because after all, we're going to be with Him for all eternity. If you're lost, we pray that you might be saved. And then you can have assurance that you'll be in heaven with the Lord throughout all eternity. We see that our time has slipped away from us again this morning. But we do want to invite you again to come to services at the Independence Baptist Church in Forestdale, Missouri. Thank you now for listening.